States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to this special Olympic episode with me, Chris Stafford. As the dressage competition gets underway this week at the Rio Olympic Games, we'll be hearing from Laura Graves. And later on, we'll be hearing from Becky Hart, who will be competing for the USA in the Paralympics next month. But first, a reminder of who those team members are in Rio representing the USA. First, we have Alison Brock from Loxahatchee, Florida, riding Roosevelt, Laura Graves with Vardadis, Casey Perry-Glass from Orangeville, California, with Diane Perry's Dublet, and Stefan Peters from San Diego, California, with Four Winds Farms' Legolas 92. And Stefan will be competing in his fourth Olympic Games in Rio. The Grand Prix competition gets underway on August the 10th and the second part on August the 11th, in which the team medals will be decided. The Grand Prix special takes place on Friday the 12th, and the freestyle competition is on Monday, August the 15th. And then we'll be heading back to Rio from September the 11th through the 16th for the Paralympic Games. But first, we're going to hear from Laura Graves, whom I caught up with whilst the team were still based in Europe preparing for the Games. Laura, welcome to the programme.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, give us a little update of what's happening in Aachen with the team, because I know we're going to be talking about Rio and we're going to actually air this when it's closer to the Games. But since you're in Aachen, you're in the thick of it, it's an important competition for the team in their preparation for Rio. So give us an update.
Yeah, so Aachen, the horses have been here. They left on Monday. Stefan is the only American with his horse who was named to Rio, who's also riding on the five-star team for Nations Cup. Of course, Shelley Francis and her horse, who is reserved for us at Rio, is also on that team. The other three team horses, Allie Brock's horse, Casey Perry Glass horse, and my own horse, Diddy, are back in Belgium sitting this one out.
All right, so you're able to enjoy the competition and give Vardadis a little bit of a break. And let's talk about his season so far with you, because obviously back in Wellington over the winter in Florida there, you had a really good winter with him, winning some Grand Prix and specials and freestyles. Good preparation going into the spring and traveling to Europe. Let's talk about that season, that spring season, and how he's been performing for you in Europe.
You know, this journey I'm on with this horse, it just surprises me every year, every show, how much they change and how fast they learn and how you have to be prepared to adapt equally as fast. And he had a really strong season in Florida, marking another over 80% freestyle to finish our season there. And to be honest, bringing him here to Europe, he's just continued to improve. And I'm super excited to take him out in Rio. And for everyone to kind of see our American horses next to the other top countries' horses, because really it hasn't been side-by-side competition, which makes a really big difference, I think, in the judging.
Let's talk about how relatively his performances have improved, Laura. I mean, obviously the last 2 years have been critical in his maturity, really, at international level, going from the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games in 2014, then on to the Pan Ams, where you won the team gold and individual silver. Now we're going into an Olympic year. Is it the kind of progression you would expect of a Grand Prix horse with him?
I have no idea. This is my first Grand Prix horse of this caliber that I've traveled around the world with. And it's the only Grand Prix horse I've had the opportunity to train from start to finish. And so, you know, a lot of people I think who maybe haven't done this before think that by the time you get to Grand Prix and you have your first season, that it's a steady incline from there, but rather I learned the opposite, that the first year is kind of the easy year, and the real work begins after that. in the details. It's kind of once they learn everything, then your work starts and really getting picky about how you're getting the job done. And knowing the potential that we have in this horse, there's no reason to overlook any detail because he's quite capable of doing a lot of things quite impressively.
In terms of the fine tuning, though, at this point of his preparation for Rio, he's having a bit of a break now as we speak, Laura. But what kind of things would you be working on now to get him to peak performance in August?
Our big goal is making sure that this horse stays fit. We're preparing for a little bit warmer weather in Rio than we've been having here in Europe. And fitness for him, he's such a big horse that it's very important to keep him going. So even on a day when he has a day off where he doesn't get a saddle on at all and he just goes in the field, but I take him for hour-long hacks around the area, and that's important for him, also for his mind, because he really enjoys doing that. But at this point, he knows every movement. If you look through the dressage test itself, he can perform every movement. But it's about now, especially our transitions, realizing the points we can pick up there. We've been working with David Stickland, who does a lot of number crunching for us and showing us where exactly we can pick up the points. Sometimes it's a surprise, and it really helps you focus your training on it could be a particular transition or maybe not the movement that you think. You might think it's a weak spot, but actually it's not worth that many points. So it's interesting to look at it from that perspective too. And I guarantee you we are, breaking down our performances from every perspective.
David Stickland, of course, is a statistician, as you pointed out there. And for those who are not familiar with his work, he has been instrumental in breaking down and analyzing dressage movements. And as you say, finding that little edge there in the odd percentage point, Laura. So what have you learned when you said some of that has been a little bit surprising to you?
For me, everyone talks about this 80%, and we're seeing it a lot here with the German team. Their horses are riding is just unbelievable. But to look at my own test that David has broken down for me, and he's very friendly with the American team, and he wrote me a little email and lets me know, your horse does everything for an 80%. And so we talked about some of the strategies to kind of put it together and make it all happen at once, which is, of course, the key. And we're working on that. It's, of course, our training's very private, but it's details and really keeping the fine tuning, precise, smooth transitions, and really preserving the beauty of this horse, which is his three really high quality gaits.
So remind our listeners, Laura, what your personal bests are for each of the competitions here in his career. What are the best? Can you remember?
I don't know that I could tell you exact percentages. Probably in the Grand Prix, it's something like a 76. In the special, I think we scored at the Nations Cup in Wellington, maybe a 78. And our freestyle is probably somewhere around an 82. They're great scores and scores I can be really proud of, but they're scores that I know we can really improve on. So we're working hard, and if I could clone this horse and ride him five times a day, I would, because I feel like I need the practice more than he does. And it's tough when you just have one horse to ride every day over here. And you watch other people ride and you learn something and you want to try it again, and we just have to wait until tomorrow. So he's going so great, and he's such an amazingly honest horse that training him is really fun. And so I hope I can do him justice in Rio.
How is he handling the travel, the different environments, the different climates that you've been going through, the weather you've been dealing with, the whole experience now, because he's getting a little bit seasoned as a traveler, but it still takes something out of them. And then, of course, you're going to go to South America for their winter. What sort of things have you learnt from previous trips that you're going to be applying to this that will help him through transition through those changes, Laura?
You know, like I said before, the biggest favor you can do to your horse is to keep them really fit. And there's nothing comfortable about sitting on a plane for 10 hours, not for us, not for the horses. But knowing, really paying attention to their little behaviors, their eating behaviors, it's so important at this stage in a horse's career to know them inside out, just because you have to pick up on the tiniest little, you know, abnormality in order to prevent something from going wrong. And so knowing whether or not it's best to walk your horse right away when you land, or whether it's best to let them rest in their stall. Knowing how much water is normal for them to drink. What do you do if he's deciding not to drink water? And all these little things, making the best schedule possible for him when we get there. You just have to know your horse.
Well, you talked about his fitness and the importance of getting him to the point where he's going to not only perform but sustain all these changes and the travel as well to optimum performance. So let's look at you, the athlete, Laura. Now, going into Olympic Games, you know that you hear of riders in different disciplines now. They do more about their own personal fitness than ever they used to in the distant past. What does Laura Graves do to help herself, especially with only one horse to ride?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the girls have started going to a CrossFit class, which is not really my cup of tea. It's not something I think I would enjoy. You're not going to find me in a gym. And unfortunately, in Belgium, there is an absurd amount of really delicious bread. So we find ourselves eating a lot of that. And for me, I'm lucky that I don't have to watch my weight so much. As I do, making sure that I stay strong and I don't have the strongest back. And so, we've had the gift from, Betsy Giuliano, who's a longtime supporter of our high performance dressage, by starting this, sport physio for us humans, which is a novel concept, with Andy Thomas, who's from the UK, who works with us, and he's here at Aachen. He was with us at Rotterdam, and he just takes a look at us, and if we have something that goes wrong, he is just an amazing body work guy, and he gives us exercises also to do, most of which are with a resistance band. And so it's not about bulking up, it's rather about, in my case anyway, stabilizing myself so that I can stay where I need to in the saddle and use my legs and my seat and not have to worry that I need to be strong with my hands.
Well, so many riders use Pilates. Do you do that?
No, I don't do Pilates. I don't do anything formal. And to be honest, when I'm home, I don't even have the time. And here I could make the time, but I do a little with the resistance band, and it's enough for me.
No running then? No tennis? No other ball games?
No, I don't run, and I think Robert Dover should be really happy that I'm not participating in any of these CrossFit classes, because I would definitely probably not survive until Rio. I'm not athletic in any other way, so to watch me run or try to lift anything heavy is really pretty comical.
All right, well, now it's downhill, sort of, to Rio. Let's talk about what's next, then, Laura. After Aachen, you go back to Belgium to Vedadis and resume training. What do you have to do then in the lead up to Rio, and when you leave with him, what's the schedule look like now?
So Aachen is actually only about an hour and a half from our base in Belgium. So we've been going back and forth. And we take Debbie and she comes back and forth with us and we train. Last night we were training about 8 or 9 o'clock and then we went and we got some dinner and we woke up this morning and we trained and we were here this afternoon. The 4-star special is going on tonight and then obviously the conclusion of our team's Nation Cup tomorrow. And so we are still training. Even though we're here at Aachen too, and it's a normal schedule. We probably are in the arena 4 days a week. There's no set schedule because we have that luxury that if the horse needs a day off, they get that day off. If they should work, they work. We're at the barn 7 days a week, so it really doesn't matter which days are work and which days are off. It's completely tailored to each horse and how they've been working and what they need. Leading up to Rio, I think we will run through some tests and a little mock show type of format. And then obviously the horses have to really rest a couple days before they get on that plane. We don't want them going on the flight with any sore muscles, certainly, or tired legs. So that's important.
And what is the itinerary then for their flight and departing Europe and arriving in Rio, Laura?
They're flying with all the other horses from Europe. They leave on August 1st. It looks like they'll land in Rio early morning, like I think 2 or 3 a.m. in Rio. And the grooms will be with them. Obviously, our team vet will be there to meet the horses. And then us riders will go first thing in the morning. I don't know if that be 7 a.m. or something like that to relieve our grooms who will have been up all night.
Well, we want to mention the groom. Let's talk about your groom for Rio. Let's hear all about her. And obviously, she's a key part of the team, so we do want to give her a shout out.
Yeah, it's a he.
Apologies.
Yeah, his name is Alex Levine Neville. He is a young man who I met in Wellington this last season. I have a bad habit of not having enough staff. And, you know, I have girls at home who are extremely loyal, hardworking, and I can't keep my horses at home properly working and taken care of if they leave. And so when I do travel like this, I have this, you know, random need for a groom for one horse. And I tend to wait until the very last minute, whether that be a world championship or a Pan Am Games, to bring a groom on board. And so this year, you know, third time's a charm, I learned I should probably have someone on the whole tour who can really be part of our day-to-day and get to know the horse. And Alex started helping me a little bit in Wellington in the afternoons, and so we were able to get to know each other, make sure it was going to be a good fit, and he's been terrific. You know, this horse really, he picks his own people, so it's not so much my job as it is Diddy's to say who he's happy with and who he's not going to tolerate. And so, yeah, he did the picking, and Alex has done a lot of grooming for jumpers, but his real passion is dressage horses, and so he finds this to be a much nicer fit for him as far as he likes really taking care of the horses. He enjoys being able to dote on that one horse, give them the treatments they need, the care. You know, we really put a lot into each horse and give them the best opportunity to succeed, so he's a good fit.
Well, finally, Laura, what are you most looking forward to about going to Rio, the whole experience of the Olympic Games and actually being in Brazil, competing in South America? What are your own personal challenges that you're taking on this occasion?
I guess I haven't thought so much about personal challenges. I think we'll know when we get there. There are a lot of things in the media, but I guarantee you everyone is perfectly up to date and giving us all the information we need to feel very safe in making this choice. And I don't anticipate any issues. The horses are perfectly safe, you know, no risk for them and the grooms who will stay in the venue with them. I wish we could stay in the venue with them, but that's just not the case. There's not enough room. And I don't foresee any challenges. You've got to be ready to go with the flow, and nothing's perfect. You know, when you have a lot of people and a lot of people with a lot of stress, and you're going to encounter not so pleasant situations anywhere in the world, horse related or not. And so I'm sure we'll see some of that, but you have to be ready again to adapt to the situation. And I'm most looking forward to, believe it or not, the opening ceremonies. I've heard you can wait and wait. You know, it'll take hours for you to walk through the stadium, but there was something so special for me about that moment in Normandy, getting to walk in the opening ceremonies, and for the first moment really being aware that I was on the team and feeling this butterfly moment of excitement when you see American flags flying. It's really emotional, and so I'm looking forward to getting to experience that again.
Well, it certainly will be an enormous experience for you, your first Olympic Games. We want to wish you the very, very best of luck with Vedadis and, of course, flying the stars and stripes for us all. High hopes on the US dressage team. Laura, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program, and the very best of luck and safe travels.
Thanks very much.
And now to the Paralympic riders who will be in Rio for the Games next month. They are Angela Peavy riding Lancelot Warrior, Sydney Collier with Western Rose, and Rebecca Hart with Schroeter's Romani. And I caught up with Becky Hart while she was still in Florida to talk about her preparation for the Games. Becky, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, first of all, a huge congratulations. I know a Paralympian already, but to do it again, that must be just extra special.
It's been an amazing process, and I'm really excited for our team this year. I think it's going to be a great event, and I look forward to see what Team USA can do.
Well, you've already been in Europe this season already, haven't you, Becky? And you've been on tremendous form with Schroeter's Romani. Let's talk a little bit about that story, the partnership with Romani, because it began, what, a couple of years ago?
It was. I think we're coming on our third year now, and she was a super, super horse. We found her at Straight Horse in Denmark. Brigitte Birgelsen did an amazing job with her, and I had Martha Thomas and Babsy Newhart Clark went and basically found her for me. And it was one of those moments where I was kind of, when I gave them my specs and I said, you know, I want a horse, but, you know, this is what I'm looking for. And they called me, and I didn't really have a mare bias, but I'd always had geldings, and I had a relationship with geldings, and they called me and they're like, well, she's a mare. And I'm like, okay. And they sent me a video, and I'm like, oh, coming. I got on a plane, and I have never been so sized up by a horse in my life, because when I walk, I have a definite kind of sound and a movement, and some horses don't respond well to that. And when I walked into the barn, Romani literally, I swear, she looked me up and down, and I swear I saw her shrug. She was like, I can work with that. And from that moment, you know, I climbed onto her back, and I had a long flight and a car ride, and I was very spastic and kind of at my worst physically. And she had never had it really any other person ride her before with a disability. And that's always an interesting kind of dynamic to have with the horse. And what drew me to her so much was, one, she didn't hurt my body physically, which was a huge plus. So my hips felt very good. I didn't have tension and the pain that I normally did. And then she also never once told me no. She didn't necessarily understand what I wanted immediately, but she always offered me something. And that, when you're looking for a para horse, is so important, that they don't just kind of throw their hands up and go, I can't do it, I don't understand. She was always like, okay, that wasn't right, how about this? And she kept offering me things. And once I told her, yes, that's what I wanted, she's like, oh, perfect, that's how we do it now. And that was so special. So right there, I was like, oh, I think she's the one. And then over the last 3 years, I mean, it's just been an amazing process to kind of fine-tune each movement and cue, and what I call for horses, it's that silent communication. And when you have a new horse, I think each horse has its own dialect, and you have to learn that horse's dialect, and kind of learning Romani's communication and her dialect of communicating with me has been such an amazing process. And I think that comes through our performances. It's been a fantastic adventure learning that on so many different playing fields, you know, at the WEG in Normandy and in European competitions, where she's really come into her own, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, timing is perfect, of course. You know, tell us a little bit more about that partnership. What sort of size is she, Becky? How big is she?
She's about a 16.2. She's a Danish warm blood. She's a little bit stocky on her bill. She's a little bit, she's not a super light horse, but she's amazingly light and forgiving in her movement, which is an interesting combination, because having that slightly wider base gives my body a little bit more area to balance with, so it's easier to maintain my own balance. And but she's still an incredibly athletic light horse on her feet, so she doesn't ride heavy in any sense of the word at all. And I've been training down for the last year and a half with her, specifically with Todd Fletrick out of Cherry Mill Farm. Margaret Dupre has been amazing in letting us come and base out of her lovely farm in Florida and offering us the support and assistance in order to be able to go to these competitions. And Todd has been instrumental. He's all about the harmony and creating the partnership with the horse, and having that shine through in the arena. When you're under different, you have the pressure of a different arena and different stimuli on the outside. You know, there are scary flower boxes and the atmosphere of the crowd. And just having him there to kind of guide me with that, because she is such an amazingly athletic horse. She can also, because of that, be sensitive. But that's actually one of the things that we did enjoy with her, is that she had her own engine and she has her own ideas and she has her own personality, which she brings forth to her performances. And I think that adds a special little spark.
Well, as you say, that partnership is key for a rider with any condition, I would imagine, at all. You've got just to find the right partner that understands and reads your signals, so to speak. Now, tell me, are you any more one-sided than the other, particularly because of your condition, Becky? Are you stronger on one side or the other? Would that come across to her?
It does, definitely. My condition, I have what's called familial spastic paraplegia. It's not as unilateral as some cerebral palsies are. Mine is more kind of from my mid back down, where I have very little control of my lower legs. But my right side is my stronger, more dominant side. So I always have to kind of balance that with her. And actually, with this last year, one of the biggest things that we found, and that Todd has been helping me with, is basically dropping my stirrups. That has been a huge impact on how we've been communicating and riding. Because with my condition, there's a lot of spasticity that when I would have a muscle spasm, I would kind of hit the stirrup bar and get pushed out of the tack and basically kind of become a little human clothespin on the back of her. And I couldn't use any bit of my body. And when I took away the stirrups, which is you're on a big moving warm blood horse in a strange arena and you have no stirrups for support, you rely solely on one, that partnership and that harmony and balance and athleticism from the horse's part and staying underneath you. And with that, but taking that away, I've actually been able to, even though the spasticity is still there and the muscle spasms still happen, I no longer brace against her, and it just kind of evened out the entire performance. And let, even if my body kind of had a bad moment during one of the competitions, I would have that spasm, but she would be able to go, I can still work through this, and just kind of carry on and carry me for those steps where I couldn't use my body. She'd kind of go on without me, and I would be able to kind of catch up back to her when my body released and I could start using it again. So it's been a very good switch in order to drop those strokes, which was initially quite terrifying, but actually ended up being a really good change.
I'd imagine quite tiring too for any of us. It's tiring.
Yeah, it is. It definitely building on the endurance. It's legs of steel.
Do you do any cross training? I mean, so many riders these days do something else. Do you do anything else apart from riding?
I do work with, I actually have two sports medicine doctors that I work with that I've been working with since I've been down in Florida, and they've been wonderful. We do a lot of core work because my legs, I don't have the brain kind of muscle connection where I can't always fire the muscle when I ask it to. We focus on strengthening what I can in my legs and then really focusing on my core. We do a lot of breath work and a lot of Pilates work to become very aware and connected to that center of balance, because it is such an important aspect when you're riding, and kind of the sole base where you really need to be able to control minute muscles, especially without stirrups. And then just adding the strength and the fitness work that we are asking your horse to go out and perform to the best of your ability. It's only fair that you are at your own personal peak fitness to assist them with that.
Now, I mentioned earlier you've been on tremendous form, and you already traveled to Europe, where you won in Duvel in France. Well, that is the kind of preparation you need for the Olympic Games. So let's talk about the form and what you've learnt from this mare since, say, Normandy, when you were on the Altec FEI World Equestrian Games teams there in 2014. I mean, that is quite the journey since then. You've just gone on constantly improving with her. What do you think you've learned most from her, and why you've reached at this sort of peak of your performance and partnership with her so far this season?
It has been an incredible journey. And what she has taught me is confidence. And not only in her, but in myself. When we went to Normandy, we were an incredibly new pair. We'd only been together for about 2 or 3 months at that point, which is a lot to ask of any partnership, to go and perform on the world stage at that kind of stage in your relationship. And for her, what our motto is basically same job, different sandbox. And that has been kind of key for us, is that it doesn't matter where we are, where that dressage ring is, we go in, and when we hit that, we're in our bubble, we focus, and we do our job. And that has been an amazing process to kind of fall into, because there are so many different atmospheres and elements that you can't control as a rider. You can't control the umbrellas and the kids or the dogs or anything else that's going around. And actually in this last winter in Florida, we had a helicopter land during one of our rides. That was a completely new experience, and I had no idea how you can't prepare for something like that. But it's that trust and partnership that I've been able to kind of gain with her over the last 2 years, and that confidence in each time we go out and we do it and we pick one thing that we want to really hone in on in each performance. You know, one movement that maybe was a sticky part, you know, we're going to go in and we're going to get this part, and then we keep building on to each moment in that test. And that's where that same job, different sandbox comes in, that no matter where we are, we just keep building on from the next thing and learning and taking. And what I think one of the main things that you really have to do is truly read the directives of your test, what that test is looking for, and also the comments from the judges, and work to see what they want and what they're looking for and where they're there to help you. Take their comments and use them effectively. And I think Todd and Margaret, and just getting her into a program where we have the ability to go to so many different venues and be exposed to the best riders out there. I think having that European experience is so vitally important, because that's who you're going to be competing against when you're at the big championships, and you need to kind of get out to the world and be like, we are here. Here we are. Take a look. And I think that process and having that relationship, not only with Todd and my horse, but with Margaret, has been paramount to kind of getting it all to happen at the right time in the right moment.
Well, obviously, you've built up a tremendous amount of rider experience, Becky, since, you know, you're one of the first successful Paralympians on the dressage team for the US, and you've watched the sport grow. You've grown with it. You've become that much more experienced at international level as well. So going into Rio, we know what you're capable of with that partnership, but what do you think you're bringing as an individual athlete and the experiences that you've had internationally to the team as the only Paralympian going into something as big as the Paralympics?
I think that comes the experience of having been there and done that and understanding, because the Paralympics are such a different event than any other horse sport or horse competition, three-star international event that you've ever been to. For example, you know, you are all of a sudden you're kind of thrown into the Olympic Village, and there's however many other sports there with different athletes, and there are all these things that can kind of distract you from what you're there to do, which is your job, to compete and to ride your horse. The villages, there's so many experiences that you can have and different options and people to meet and things to do. And I think having the experience of having already experienced and had that moment of, oh my gosh, deer in headlights, I can kind of help the other riders kind of be able to enjoy it, because it's part of the process. You're there to experience everything and represent your country, but at the same time, remember to stay focused. And that's kind of what I want to bring to the table, is it's okay to have fun and enjoy the experience, but to also remember to focus on what you need to do and why you're there.
Well, with just a few weeks to go now before you head south to Rio, Becky, let's talk about what you need to do now. You're in Wellington, final preparations. Talk about the schedule leading up to the actual departure and when you'll arrive in Rio with the team.
Awesome. So basically we've got about four to five weeks out from when we go. We're going to be just kind of gearing up our training and fitness work with Romani. Everyone, Annie, Gigi, and Sid all have their own individual fitness plans with the horses. So specifically for Romani and I, we've been doing a lot of fitness work. So she walks on an underwater treadmill, and we do our hacks down the road, and then we also do our ring work just to keep her fresh and keep her motivated. And then once we get closer to our actual leave date, we're all four of us are going to have a team bonding and base camp that we're going to be doing in Ocala. We'll be there for about 5 days, and we're just going to kind of live together, start really functioning as a group, and have that kind of camaraderie and bond. So that when we head to Rio, we will be kind of a united front in Team USA, which is such a wonderful experience. You can't beat it. There's nothing else in the world that really feels you're getting to represent your country with good friends and awesome support team and staff. It's a truly remarkable experience. And horses will fly out of Miami on the 4th. They'll fly directly into Rio. There is no layover facility. So they'll go directly into Deodoro, and the four of us will fly to Houston, Texas, and go through team processing, where you get your Olympic kit and all of your credentials and everything. And then we will fly to the Olympic Village. We have about 7 days there to get the horses used to the venue, do some practice rounds, make sure music and everything is functioning correctly. And then we start competing on the second week.
Well, obviously, this is huge for you as well. I mean, personally, what does this mean in the terms of the context of your career, Becky, given what you've done so far? And no doubt you're looking to the future as well. But where would you fit this particular Paralympic Games?
I would like to look at this Paralympic Games as a springboard for U.S. paradressage. I feel the strongest that I've ever been going into this Games. I would love to bring home a medal for U.S. paradressage. One, because it helps with the financial support of things and the backing from the USOC. But I think that we actually have, this is our strongest team ever going into a Paralympic Games. I did 2008 in Hong Kong in 2012. And I think we've got an amazing group of very dedicated and dynamic riders here, and I think moving forward we've got a ton of excellent talent coming up as well, with a lot of really good young horses. So I'm hoping that, you know, this Games we can really prove that the U.S. has a good shot and deserves to be there, and can highlight the strength and the growth that we've had over the last 12 years, and then we can take that and move it forward into, you know, heading into Tokyo and into Bromont. And I really think it's growing. I think we've, you know, I'm hoping this can be the catalyst that just starts it to really ramp it up and to have people understand what it is and to support it in the United States.
All right, now, have you been in competing down there before? Do you know that area? Well, I'm just wondering how Becky Hart's going to fare. The local language, what are you looking forward to?
I think that the culture in Rio is absolutely amazing. I think it's going to be a really unique event. I have never been to that part of the world, so that'll be a wonderful new experience as well. And I think it should be a really good dance.
It will be a fantastic experience, of course. Well, we want to wish you the very, very best of luck with the mayor and the team, of course, and a great, obviously, opportunity for the Paralympic dressage in this country to move forward, Becky. So I'm sure you will fly the flag honourably and with true pride. So the very best of luck to all of you, and thanks for coming on the programme.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the USDF sends its very best wishes and good luck to all the riders who will be representing the USA this week in Rio for the Olympic Games and next month for the Paralympic Games. And you can keep up with the latest news of the team at the Rio Olympic Games by going to the website at usdf.org and following the USDF on social media on Facebook and Twitter. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.